Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Samson's an interesting character. Giving you a brief context here, the nation of Israel has been in bondage to the Philistines for several years, and God raises up a Samson to deliver them. And in that study, we covered many times where Samson is a glorious picture of Christ, as the Old Testament is so often to do. Christ said, "Search the Scriptures." Well, when he said, "Search the Scriptures," what was he talking about? Not the New Testament. It didn't exist. Search the Old Testament because they testify of me. And Samson is a wonderful picture of Christ. We will see one of those tonight. But Samson has trifled with his life calling. He was a judge. He was to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And yes, he did some good things, and there were some very foolish things that Samson did. He had a definite liking for women, and this got him into trouble. Well, one of these episodes, what he did was he took foxes, tied their tails together, and put a firebrand between them and set them out through the cornfields of the Philistines. The Philistines, of course, didn't have a sense of humor of this, and there was coming up for a conflict here. Well, what's happening is Samson has been called to deliver the people, and the people aren't following him. They're actually kind of upset with Samson. Stop it. Don't anger the Philistines, okay? And they wouldn't believe that he was the one called of God, because he certainly was an unlikely character. And you can see some pictures there. Christ was an unlikely character to save his people from the world, but from the sins. You? You? Yeah, you. And this is what's happening here. 3,000 of the men of Judah actually take Samson and they bind him and they take him over and give him to the Philistines. Because they just, don't just let it go. We don't like it. And you're going to see throughout this passage many times it can refer to us. How many times? Don't rock the boat. I'm just happy in my little life, in my little corner of the world right now, and I don't want to change. Even though change is greatly in order. Well, Israel was their own worst enemy, as we can be our own worst enemy, and God doesn't want us to be that way. We're going to be looking at Judges chapter 15, 14 to 20, with some surrounding verses to help us with this study. But we're going to see this, where Samson has been delivered to the Philistines by his own people, and the battle that ensues there. Well, what's with the jawbone? That's going to make more sense as we get into this. It's an interesting passage. Let's read Joshua 15, 14 to 20. "And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and the place was called Ramoth-Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Now I shall die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name of the place En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. We have this man, and usually what's conjured up is we can picture Samson as this man who looks like he is, you know, some body sculpting muscle man. And I have said many times I disagree with that. I think he was actually a man slight of build. If you look at it, take a look at Judges chapter 15, verse 14. When he, Samson, came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord. And every time Samson did some great act of strength, the Spirit of the Lord was doing it. We don't need to be going down to the gym and being bodybuilders so that we can do the will of the Lord. We need to be following Paul's admonition that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's how Samson had his strength. If he had big rippling muscles, why did the Philistines have to send Delilah to ask him, how do you do that? They would know. Well, he's got big muscles. He didn't have big muscles. How do you do that? And is that what not God says? I use the weak things of this world to confound the wise? Don't ever say, I can't do it. You can with God's strength. Well, Samson here was being submissive at that point until the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And I want you to notice this. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him and the cords. Now remember, the 3,000 men of Judah put these cords on him that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. It doesn't say Samson broke them. It says God did it. Is that not wonderful? He calls us and then he does it. I can't break these. Yeah, but watch what God can do. Samson didn't overpower them. God was the source of Samson's strength, as God is our source of strength. God had given direction in life. I want you to think about this. When should Samson go to battle? God directed him. Here, let them bind you. Let them take you over to the Philistines. And the Philistines start shouting, and it's like the opportunity's right here. God freed my hands. And God leads us. And in this case, God led Samson by his own people, even in their rebellion. Even in their rebellion. If God's not over evil, he's not over a whole lot. He can take the evil of the men of Judah, get rid of the man that God sent, and deliver him to the Philistines. And yet, in that, Samson had a wonderful opportunity to fight the enemy, which is what he was supposed to do to begin with. But he was often too busy chasing somebody. So it is, God often leads us by other people. I want you also to consider this as we take a look how God develops people to do his will. Samson progressively learned a little bit upon a little bit upon a little bit as Christians learn a little bit upon a little bit upon a little bit and they grow. Consider Judges chapter 14, verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion. And he confronted the lion and killed the lion. Experience number two, a little more challenging. Judges 14, 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men. Well, he started from killing one lion. Now he took on 30 men, and God saw to it that he could conquer them. How about number three? Judges 15, 8. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. So we go from a lion to 30 men to a great slaughter. And now in our study tonight, we're going to see in verse 15, he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000. This is how God wants to take us. That's why we have to be faithful in the little things. Because in the little things, you'll start to gain your confidence that God is working. And then he gives you a little more. And then he gives you a little more. So don't ever reject what God is sending your way and your responsibilities. Do them and watch him bless. Your faith is going to grow. Your confidence that God is there will certainly grow. He always knew it. We have to learn it. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson when he needed it, not before. Samson did not panic when he saw the 3,000 men of Judah coming to bind him. He didn't panic when his hands were bound. He didn't panic as he was delivered to the Philistines, because he knew that God would provide at the right time. He had faith in God, and that's why you find Samson listed in the great men of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And boy, was he a sinner. So it is that Samson had God's power, but he had to do his part. And God blessed. And remember, 3,000 men of Judah are not going to be in the battle. They're going to say, okay, Samson, it's okay for you to go do all the work. Let us never be guilty of that, letting others tend to what we could help with. Verse 15, and he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men. He has his hands freed and he puts his hand to that which is right there. And God did not free Samson's hands to do his own will. He's freed his hands to slay the Philistines, which is why he brought him as a position of the judge. When God blesses you, don't use it for personal pleasure. Use it for his will. God has provided a jawbone as a weapon, hence our title, What's with the Jawbone? In times past, Samson only used his hands. Now he's leading to use a jawbone. Okay, God has different methods. Why God does what he does, I don't know. I know that he does. And it's not us to question, why do you get a jawbone and I don't get anything? Forget it. For whatever reason, God did that. Now, I think it's doubtful, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's doubtful that any would consider a jawbone to be a good weapon of self-defense. And I have never seen anybody practicing with a jawbone for self-defense. And it seems to me a jawbone would be weak and hard to handle. But that's what God gave him. Not to cry and whine about it. Get busy. Because the truth is, Samson, I don't want you to get the glory. I want the glory. And many times do we not feel inadequate to the task? And God says, I know. By the way, I want you to complete the task more than you want to complete the task. And so he's chosen the weak things, because then when it's all done, how did you do that? I didn't. God did. 1,000 men will die by a jawbone of a donkey. Whatever God has given you is adequate for the job. So put your hand to the work and don't complain and watch God bless. Just remember, God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for those who are sinners saved by grace, seeking his face. Here I am, reporting for duty. And he says, I got a job for you. I don't know what it is, but God has a job for each and every one of us. Now, I like this. Read verse 15 again. And he found a new jawbone of an ass. Excuse me, what is a new jawbone? You really think about that. What's a new jawbone? I have never seen a new jawbone. He found a new jawbone. And this is something that was once alive but is now dead. And here it is useful after its death. And it was new to Samson. But did you ever stop and think, really, everything is the same age? Because we all came from the dust of the ground. This iPad is made from the dust of the ground. And how old is the dust of the ground? From creation. So how old is this thing? It may have been formed recently, but everything is as old as the earth. You too. Nothing personal. But are we not created from the dust of the ground? Everything is as old as the earth. God just took and reshaped it at different times. How old are you? Well, probably about 7,000, 8,000 years right now. Really? Yeah. But is it not that when God does, he can make things new again? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies. Now, why did he was given a jawbone? It was mercy of God to give him a tool. That we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, even though they're as old as eternity. Because he's a good God and he has never changed. Chapter 15, verse 16. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, and with the jaw of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men. Did you know that not a whole lot is said about the battle? We just go straight from he has this jawbone of an ass to he killed all these men and it's over. And many times, you know, we'd like to sit there and say, wait a minute, let's talk about this. There I was, 60,000 of them, it seemed like, were on my left, and there was another 50,000 on my right there, and you would just start to tell the story. And God just, here's your jawbone. Okay, done. Let's move on. Because it's not about us. It's about God. He sees results. Well, all we need to know is Samson was faithful and God did it. And that's how it is. Now, I want you to see this. He has around him heaps upon heaps. When you read the Bible, what are the heaps? They're piles of dead bodies. But was that not the job that God gave Samson? And these are a victory here, and a victory here, and a victory here, and a victory here. And in essence, should that not encourage Samson? Every place he looked, victory, 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 victory. And the jawbone? And I'm this little guy. And there's 1,000 of them. Heaps. Christian, did you know you have heaps of all the victories that you can look back and see what God did? There's a heap. And there's a heap. And there's a heap. Don't ever neglect the heaps. They're there as reminders. I remember that. And they were all around him. How did he do it? By the power of God. He completes his responsibilities. How did he do that? One at a time fell. He didn't go, whoosh, and 1,000 men were dead. One at a time. How do you get your job? One at a time. And then I'll figure out the next one, and the next one, and the next one. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? How do you kill 1,000 Philistines? One at a time. And then you look around and you see what God has done. And it came to pass, verse 17, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramoth-Lehi. It means height of a jawbone. Really? Really? Who slew them? Oh, the jawbone slew them. Really? Why didn't you name it after God? Why didn't you name it after God? Let's go back to verse 16. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, underline it, have I slain. Who did it? I did it. And I'm going to call this Ramoth-Lehi, height of a jawbone. How quickly he got proud. You didn't do it. God is the one that loosened those bands from your hands. God is the one that gave you the jawbone. And God is the one that saw to it that the work was done. And the first thing he did was take credit and name the place after the jawbone. And then what did he cast it away? How many times, I really believe what we've got here is how many times do we see a big, oh no, 30, there's 1,000 Philistines all around me. What am I going to do? And God sees you through it. And the whole time you were concerned and you were praying and you were coming to church and all of a sudden, it's all done. I don't need church anymore. I don't need God anymore. Cast it away. I'm going to name it after the jawbone anyway. And God is nothing more than a rabbit's foot when we're in trouble. And this ought not to be. 18. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance. Okay, now wait a minute. Now he's got back. He knows to say the right words, but he's not living. Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servants, and now I shall die for thirst. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Didn't you, God, see you through the lion? Didn't he see you through the 30 men? Didn't he see you through the great slaughter? Didn't he see you through 1,000 men? And all of a sudden you're going to die of thirst? But should we not question our own faith many times? We're strong here, we're strong here, we're strong here, and all of a sudden, not that one. I'm going to die of thirst. I mean, God's going to forget me. And he's just going to let me die here. Key here, be very careful after a great spiritual victory. You're very vulnerable to pride and then therefore doubting, self-confidence outside of God.
We can get depressed after a great victory. He forgot that he was already being used greatly of God. He was a judge of Israel. He was a Nazarite. God used him, and he's seen the victories and the heaps all around him. I'm going to die.
Really? Give me a break.
Verse 19. But God clave in hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name En-Hak-Kor, which is in Lehi to this day. He calls on God in his thirst. His attitude is wrong. And God is still merciful to say, I'll give you water. Aren't you glad God is merciful when our attitude is not so great? What a God we serve. Here is another miracle. There is this hollow place in the jaw, and out comes water. Not unlike the rock. He's holding this jawbone, and all of a sudden, water comes out. Where'd the water come from? Well, it came from the socket of a tooth. Is apparently where it was. There was a hollow place in the jaw thereon. And the jawbone is the source of two blessings, victory over the Philistines and victory over daily needs. That one jawbone delivered him from 1,000 Philistines. That one jawbone delivered him from his thirst. And one God can deliver us from all of our needs. He can give victory. He can give life-giving water, just like that one jawbone. We need nothing else other than a relationship with God and trust in Him. It says, but God, verse 19, but God clave in hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water there out. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name of it En-Hak-Kor, which is in Levi today. He drank, the spirit in him came again. Not the Holy Spirit this time, it's a small s. And he was revived. Did you know he was tired from that slaughter of the Philistines? Did you know there'll be times you're going to be so tired in the work of the Lord? And you're allowed to feel that and acknowledge it. Yes, I'm dead exhausted. But don't complain. Give God the glory. But folks, don't ever feel bad about being tired in the work. Just don't ever get tired of the work. He was revived by the water that God gave him. The original name of this place was Lehi. And Lehi is nothing more than a place in Israel named as a jawbone. That's what the place was named originally. After killing the Philistines, Samson named it Ramoth-Lehi, which basically gives him the credit because it is the height of the jawbone. But look at verse 19. At the end of it, it says, he called the name thereof En-Hak-Kor. This is the third name of this place. En-Hak-Kor means the fountain of one calling. He started to realize, oh man, that was wrong. I can't be taking the credit for this. I have to name this place the fountain of one calling. It's God. This is the fountain, the source of all of my strength. And so he got himself back into right thinking. So he went from the place of a jawbone to a high place of a jawbone to a place where God blessed. And we see him also growing in the Lord. So it is that God is going to be with us. Well, we're going to take a couple minutes here. And he judged Israel in the days of Philistines 20 years. Now they've been in bondage for a long time. And they cried for a deliverer. And what did God do? He sent a baby. And we would say, no, we don't want a baby. We want a full-grown man now. But he sent a baby. As he sent a baby in Bethlehem to deliver the people. Well, I just want to take a few minutes here and draw some parallels of looking at Samson. If we were to go back and look at Judges chapter 13, where the story of Samson begins, we see a miraculous birth. And then we also see that there's very little known about Samson as a baby. The first thing we know really is he's born and then he's killing his lion. What do we know about Christ's young life? Not a whole lot. We see that he has been empowered by God. We see many times he speaks in these riddles. Did Christ speak in parables? He surely did. We then see, I like this one, Christ took the disciples and he sent them out two by two. What did Samson do with the foxes? He tied them together two by two and put a firebrand between them and sent them out among the unsaved. What did Samson do? He sent them out among the Philistines. And Samson is rejected and delivered to the Philistines as Jesus was delivered to the Romans. Consider, think about Samson as they came, his own people, 3,000 men of Judah. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47, while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests to the elders of the people. He was betrayed as Samson was betrayed by Judah. And what did they do with Samson? They tied his hands, Matthew 27, 2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him. And this is exactly what the men of Judah did. They bound him and they gave him over to the Philistines. The one that God sent as a baby to grow up and to deliver Israel from the Philistines, they're rejecting. Sound familiar? What did Jesus do when he went from the garden and to his death? He went willingly, as Samson willingly, take my hands. Sure, let's go over. John chapter 10, verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it, my life, down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Sure, go ahead. And he willfully went like a lamb to the slaughter. Samson willfully went as a lamb to the slaughter. Samson and Christ were both mocked. Judges 15, 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. Matthew 27, 29. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed their knee before him and mocked him, as Samson was screamed at and mocked. Yet, both were innocent, if you will. Samson was innocent as Christ was innocent. Judges 15:11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? It's your fault. No, it's not my fault. God raised me up as a judge because you folks were in sin. And so it is, as Samson was raised up to sinful Israel, Jesus Christ came, born in just sinful Israel, to deliver the people, and they were both rejected. What did they say? Judges 15:11, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? We have no king but Caesar. Isn't it neat to see these incredible parallels from the Old Testament to the New? By delivering Samson / Christ to death, they both provided an opportunity for victory. Christ had to go to the cross and die to be victorious over death. Samson had to be delivered to certain death, earthly speaking, as an opportunity to kill 1,000 Philistines. But if neither went to this battle, there would have been no victory. As Christ took on the powers of hell, Samson took on the powers of the Philistines who were against God's people. The jaw is part of a skull, right? Part of the skull. And where did he fight his battle? In Lehi. A jawbone. And where did Christ hang on the cross? At Golgotha, the place of the skull. John 19, 17, and bearing his cross, went forth and called it the place of a skull. That's where Samson was. Therefore, that's what's up with the jawbone. What's with this jawbone? It was a glorious picture of Christ. And what did Samson do after the battle? Judges chapter 15, verse 18, and he was sore athirst. And John chapter 19, verse 28, on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. What a book. Man could never write a book like that. Never. That has to be divinely written for us. I hope tonight you're blessed by that study of the God that takes weak, sinful people seeking his face that report for duty, and he says, watch what I can do with you, and either nothing or the jawbone of an ass.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.